So we're doing a program. It's the first in a series of programs, and during that series, we're going to be working with time. And specifically, we're going to be working with the nature of time in the as it's presented in the dynamics of time and space book. Now, whoever just joined created a certain amount of noise. That could have been Michael. Michael has just gone mute. Let's see. Maybe so. Let me say, by the way, that to start with, well, let's see. Let's go through a few ground rules at the beginning. The program is set up so that we meet every Sunday at this time. There's going to be one weekend. It's the weekend before Thanksgiving, actually. November 18th, I believe it is, but it's right around there where we will not meet. And that's just because I'm traveling on that day and it would be hard for me. So it's purely for my convenience. Other than that, we will meet every Sunday for the next 6 Sundays, and then we will go ahead in the winter and the spring and into the summer. So we're allowing a year really to go through this sequence. You don't have to take the whole year. You don't have to feel like you're making a commitment for a whole big chunk of your life. Stay with us through this first program, and then you're completely free to decide whether to go on. Now, as everybody knows, I think, or it should have been made clear, we do have a space on the website, a place on the website, for people to do discussions, to share experience and questions and so on with each other. And this year, more than ever, I'm going to encourage people to really take part in that, and I'll say a little bit more about that later. Kathleen asked if we will have a practice day, and to tell you the truth, I hadn't thought about that, but I don't see why not. The idea there is that after the last session, we find some time. Maybe given the timing of this course, we'd want to do that in early January, because we'll be ending the course around mid-December, and then Christmas comes, and that's difficult. So maybe early January, and it'd be a nice way of warming up. So, Kathleen, maybe you could send me an email reminding me that we need to set up a date for a practice day. Now, when I do these phone calls, when we do them together, there's always a little bit of a tension. I've found over these years of doing this that people generally like to listen more than talk, it seems like. So I wind up speaking quite a bit. I have never felt completely comfortable with that. I do it. I will continue to do it unless people jump in. And something else that we've found here is that people very much seem to prefer asking questions or making comments by using the chat function. So if anybody's not familiar with the chat function, check with Kathleen about getting clear on how to use it, and that's fine. I do have I do check in the chat box regularly, and I'll try to address things as they come up. But it's also fine for people to speak up and ask questions live. And when we first started doing the program, I had this vision, this idea that people would be participating with video as well, and you have the option to do that, but it's turned out that people are not so interested in doing that. But if you'd like to experiment with it, by all means. The program is set up so that if someone speaks and they are on video, then the video automatically transfers to them, so you get to see them speaking. But that's up to you. So those are some of the mechanics. I have written an introduction for the program, which, however, I haven't posted, but I should be able to post it tomorrow, along with an orientation for next week. And this orientation is going to go a little bit deeper into the way that the way that it seems to me we should be approaching this. So those should both be posted next week. I do want to say some things right now by way of introduction, and I am expecting that today it'll be more of me talking, but absolutely any questions that people have, anything that's not clear, either in terms of the mechanics, which is what we're talking about right now, or of course the material, once we start to get into it, please, please, please speak up or type out. The basic point I want to make when I say I want to make some introductory remarks is that I have really been thinking about how to make this the most helpful and meaningful kind of program. And one of the things that strikes me is that in order for that to really work, it has to be, it depends on a commitment from those of you who are participating in it. And the commitment is a straightforward one. The commitment is to let the question of time and temporality really become a part of your daily life, to let yourself really engage the question. You know, one way of thinking about these programs is that we're going through the material in some of the TSK books, and this year we're focusing on dynamics of time and space and on the time section. We're going through those materials so that people really can find their own best way to work with them and study them and let them guide them as they go about trying to understand something about time and space and knowledge. That's one way of thinking about what we do, but I don't think it's really the best way. I think the best way to think about what we're doing is that when you decide to participate in this course, you are committing yourself to actively investigating the way that time operates and what time means to you in your daily activity. And the readings are a guide to that. The readings are a source of insight and clarity and alternatives, new ways of investigating. But the heart of it is investigation. And you know, it strikes me perhaps I've said things like this in the past as well, but it really has been on my mind that what matters is the moment, the act of inquiry. And even if it's only a very brief moment, even if it's only something that during the course of the day you find yourself thinking about time, and not just thinking about it, but asking yourself, what's going on right now in terms of time? Or my experience right now, how does that raise questions about the nature of time? I think if you ask those kinds of questions, if you get into the habit of making time a daily inquiry in your own life, then you'll really get a lot out of this program. And you know, I've always had this sense that we need to find ways to activate this vision. And of course, time is, in a sense, about activation. So it's not just a question of interesting ideas or stimulating discussion. All of that can be helpful, but really, in the end, it's about the ongoing exploration of our own being, our own way of being in the world, not as an abstraction, but as the immediate reality of what's happening for us right now, and making that an ongoing inquiry. If we can do that, if you find yourself really asking about time and temporality and how that relates to your being every day, you know, even if it's just for a short time, that'll have a powerful impact, I'm sure of it. And The other thing, and some of this that I'm saying now will be in the introduction, the other thing I want to emphasize is that it will be tremendously helpful if there's a sense that there's a community of people doing that inquiry. If we're doing it together, it will support you. Because if you set out to ask a series of questions and it seems as though nobody else thinks that those are valuable questions or worthwhile or meaningful to explore, you lose heart. So it's very helpful if we do that, if we do this together. So I'll have more, I have some more thoughts about that, and I lay it out a little bit in the introduction, and we will, we'll have a chance to look into it more as we go along. So those are my introductory remarks. The one other very practical, immediate introductory remark, as I said at the beginning, is that I have to end this program just right on time. And we started off with the idea that we had half-hour sessions, and it's really expanded itself over time so that we now do 40-minute sessions. But today, I absolutely have to be sure we're done at 40 minutes after the hour. So if I start to push things towards a conclusion at the end, you'll know why. So any questions or comments about anything that I've said? It's all general and introductory, but I hope that it's gotten you thinking about how you're going to work with this material, or really more important, with this vision, this TSK vision. Somebody seems to be typing. So we'll, okay. Okay, well, let's, as we wait, let's get started now, and take a look at the first reading. So everybody has seen the assignments are all on the website, so I'm assuming that everybody has seen them. And of course, our reading assignments are very short, because there's so much in all this material that we want to be able to go into it in some depth. So the reading assignment for today was the first half of chapter 9, which is the first chapter in the time section of Dynamics of Time and Space. The section itself is called Conducting Time, but it will take us a while before we get to the theme of conducting time as it's presented in this section. Right now, I think what Rinpoche wants to do in this opening chapter, and what we're going to look at, is just getting clear of about our ordinary understanding of time, and recognizing that it's problematic, and what it's possible to do, how it's possible to go deeper and begin to investigate that problematic nature. So if we look at the very first sentence of the reading, it's an interesting sentence because in some ways it really anticipates a fundamental theme in this chapter, and even just generally about time as it's understood in the vision. So Rinpoche writes, "As transmitted by the dynamic of time, experience unfolds along a continuum from past to present to future." So what strikes me as interesting about that is that it immediately questions our usual understanding, because this continuum that moves from past to present to future, that's what most people would call time. They'd say, time has these three parts. This is the fundamental picture we have of time. It's divided up into these three domains of past and present and future. And we all have some, shared assumptions about what that means. Basically, that the present is what's real, but it is built out of the past and it moves toward the future. And that's what Rinpoche is talking about here. But the point I want to make about it is that he makes a distinction. There's this continuum, this unfolding continuum from past to present to future. And there's the dynamic of time. But the two are not the same thing. And that's really what we will be exploring, because we ordinarily look at time in terms of past and present and future. But Rinpoche says the continuum that unfolds from past to present to future is something that's transmitted by the dynamic of time. So time does the transmitting, or the dynamic of time does the transmitting. Maybe we don't know yet, is there a difference between time and the dynamic of time? And one aspect of time, certainly, is that it's dynamic. But in any event, time, or the dynamic of time, transmits experience as unfolding from past to present to future. The point to emphasize here, that the point that should be fairly clear, I think, is that time is not the unfolding from past to present to future. Time is what transmits that unfolding. It's the dynamic that makes that unfolding possible. And then he goes on to say something more in the next sentence. He says, he describes that, or he gives it a little bit of substance. So we all know past, present, future. And now he's going to make another point, which again is something we all know, but may not have thought about that much. He says, active in the present, we take form from the past and live forward into the future. So he's giving a preliminary characterization of these three dimensions that we tend to think of as being time, but Rinpoche has said, no, they're not time, they're what's transmitted by time. So, active in the present, so that's the place where things happen, obviously, right? What about the past? Well, the past is where we take form. So, this is kind of obvious, but it's good to get clear on it. In the past, for instance, you registered to take this course. And that's gone now. The moment in which you registered to take the course is gone. But because you did that, you're here taking the course, right? So the form that the present moment takes is has come from the past. We take the form of present experience, the substance, you could also say, and Rinpoche says something like that later. We take that from the past. And then, finding ourselves in the present, we are always inevitably moving forward into the future. We live forward, as he says, into the future. And all three of those dimensions of time are inseparable from each other. So that's the first paragraph. That's, this is kind of laying out what we know about time on the ordinary level. It's beginning to analyze it a little bit, much more than we ordinarily do. But it's also something that we all know. We all of this presumably, I mean, maybe, as I say, maybe you haven't thought about it in quite this way, but presumably you say, well, there's the past, the present, and the future, and the past shapes the present, and the future is what we live into, and yes, we all understand that. It's exactly because we all understand that, or we all have sort of a fundamental understanding, or conception of what time is, that in some ways it's really easy to work with time. So some of you were in the program that we did when we worked with space, and space is harder, I think, because people don't think about space. People take space for granted. Time, it's much easier to show that the time, the notion we have of time is problematic. And we're going to do a little bit of that analysis over the next few minutes, because that's where the chapter goes. But people generally know that. There's probably the most famous statement about time in Western thought is by Augustine, who lived in the 4th and 5th centuries, so 1500, 1600 years ago. And he has a chapter about time and his confessions, and he says, if nobody asks me about time, then I know perfectly well what it is. But the moment someone asks me to explain what time is, then I'm completely confused. I don't know. And I think in general, people, it's easy for people to see that that's the case, or it's easy to understand the perplexities about time. It's a little different with space because, as I say, people just think, well, everybody knows what space is. It's just empty. It's not interesting. There's nothing going on. We spent a lot of time last year, opening that up, but with time, it's just natural to ask questions. And there's another reason that it's natural to ask questions is that we really care about time. So, of course, in general, many people have pointed out that we care about time because we know that at some point in the future we will die. And that makes the whole question of how time unfolds, or what does it even mean to say that that there is a point in the future at which we'll die. What does that mean? What does that suggest about the nature of the future? What does it suggest about the time that separates the gap between this present moment and the moment in which we're no longer here? What does it mean about time that we can disappear from the flow of time? Those kinds of questions really matter to us a lot. And again, in general, people tend not to think about them, prefer not to think about them. But it doesn't take much. If you scratch the surface, it doesn't take much to realize that these are important questions. So again, it's very natural to want to investigate time. And we have the material at hand to investigate it because we all think we understand at some level about past and present and future. And then there's a final reason why it's important to, or why it's natural to want to get involved in time, and that is that, especially in our culture, it seems as though, in general, we recognize that we have a problematic relationship with time. More and more, it seems as though people are constantly recognizing that they don't have enough time, right? That we're always too busy, that time somehow seems to pressure us. And that seems to be a special characteristic of our society. And in one way, again, it's useful for our purposes, because we know that if we could stand in a different relationship to time, things might look very different. It's a little hard to know how, because you'd say, well, even if my vision or understanding of time was completely different, there are still all these obligations pressing in on me. As I said today, I have to end this session right on time because I have to leave and go do something else. And we generally schedule ourselves in that way. And you might say, well, it would be nice if I understood that all differently, but the reality is that time is still going to be pressing in on me. Well, that's an assumption that I think during the course of the year we may be able to explore further. So, it's easy in some ways to investigate time. It's difficult in other ways to investigate time because we're so sure, and in this sense it's like space. We're so sure, until we stop to think about it, that we know what time is. And that's the point that Augustine makes when he says, as long as you don't ask me what it is, I know exactly what time is. Time is what we measure with our clocks. When we set an alarm clock in the morning, that has to do with time. When we notice that it's 9 o'clock and it's time for this session to start, that has to do with time. So we're constantly connecting with time, and we have an understanding of what that means to connect with time or to operate in time, and it's not going to be easy to really question that. But I think we do need to question it. And that's why I said earlier that we need to make it a living inquiry, something that we take to heart, so that there's a time, there are times during the day, there are moments during the day, every day. It's my suggestion, where you ask yourself, what is going on in time right now, for me or for other people, or for the world, or in my subjective experience. So there's so many different places or ways to investigate, but we need to make that inquiry a living inquiry, because otherwise we're just going to fall into our usual understanding of time, and we may have some insights that come from our discussions and come from reading the material in the book, but they will leave unaffected the actual experience that we have of time. So in the rest of the reading, we just actually talked about the first paragraph so far. What Rinpoche lays out in these next few pages, and that I want to take the next 10 minutes to look into, is that our ordinary understanding, it doesn't make sense. And it is not, you might say, it's not a subtle and sophisticated thing. So this is the second half of Augustine's statement, right? When you ask me, when you start to look at the question of what time is, it immediately becomes deeply problematic. And Rinpoche is laying out the reason for that. And the main point that he makes at the start here is to say that we've got a big problem when it comes to understanding the past, present, future structure of time, because in fact we don't know anything about the past and we don't know anything about the future. As he says, the beginning of the third paragraph says, past and future are by nature unknown. And again, the kind of unexamined response to that is, well, no, I know perfectly well about the past, Half an hour ago, we started doing this session. That was in the past. That's all very clear. There's nothing that needs to be questioned. It all just makes sense, right? But the point that Rinpoche makes is the straightforward one. He says, the only experience we ever have is present experience. And so he says, the second sentence in the second paragraph, it's fundamental to our being that we experience only in the present, with a sense that the past is behind us and the future has not yet come. So the point here, and I'm sure it's a point that all of you have thought about, and it's a point now that, that we're going to have to try to bring alive in our inquiry and investigation. The point here is that the past is a construct that we use to make sense out of the present moment. Here we are, we're engaged in this conversation, or I have to say it's a monologue right now, but we are meeting together, and that's what's happening in the present. But if you ask me what is going on, or if you ask me to describe, I suppose you could say, what's going on in the present, I'm going to refer back to the past. The past is my explanation for what is happening right now. So, there's the past of your registering for this course, there's the past of your getting interested in the time-space knowledge vision or books, there's the past of everything I've been saying over the last half hour, or the past of this immediate moment, because when you actually start to split it up, there's the present moment turns out to be vanishingly small. There's whatever I said just a moment ago, that's the past. But that's how you're able, by drawing on the past, to make sense out of the present. Well, that's how we describe it, and it all makes good sense, but it's only a theory. The past is a construct. The way that we make sense out of what's going on in the present is to look back at the past for the substance of what's happening, and to look forward to the future for our sense of that there's meaning and intention, and that we're headed in a certain direction. And you can see that in the course of a single sentence. When I start talking, each new word relies on the words that have come before, and it also, where I'm going also relies on my sense of what makes sense for me to say, where I'm going to wind up at the end of this sentence, period, end of sentence. That structure is all there. That structure makes very good sense. It's a perfectly good explanatory structure, but it's only an explanation, a structure. It's only a fabrication. That might be too strong a word, but a construct. It's a way we have of making sense out of experience. That there must have been a past to get me to this moment right now, and there must be a future, or nothing that I'm doing is going makes any sense at all. It's a very good, very compelling explanation. It's a very useful explanation. It may lead us into difficulties, and that's part of what we're going to be exploring. I have a note here from Kathleen saying that Michael may have a question. Does Michael have a question? Could Michael speak up?
Hi Jack, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine, Michael.
I did the raise hand function. I wasn't sure if that's something you ever see.
I don't
Using
usually
it
look
might be a
for it.
way of not interrupting you, you know?
I see. I don't mind
I just
being.
wanted to make the observation.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
I wanted to make the observation that your monologue is not as unified as you might think. The sound is coming 3 or 4 seconds after the video.
Oh, really?
I wonder if you feel that at your end, if you feel a little internally divided.
The past and the present at war with one another. No,
Right.
it doesn't. I don't notice that, and I'm sorry to hear that. And maybe we can get our technical team. That's a little in joke because our technical team is limited, but we do have people who might be able to look into this and see why it's so. I, in fact, I mean, I see my own picture speaking, and it's mostly in sync. There might be like a tenth of a second difference. I'm just watching carefully now, watching the lips move, you know. Okay, so we'll try
Is
to
it cleared
work
up
on
at
that.
this end too?
Excuse me?
It's cleared up at this end too, all of a sudden.
Oh,
Huh,
okay. Well,
interesting. Somebody.
so it was
Well,
our
I'll get off now.
shared intention.
I'll mute myself.
Okay. Well, let's, as I've mentioned several times, I've got to end on time today. So let's kind of sum up that aspect and see if there's anything else that seems essential to point to today. This aspect is that the only thing we know is the present. We don't know the past and the future. They're just useful constructs. And then the what follows from that is that we don't really understand the present either, because the present is this, according to one way of thinking about it anyway, is this vanishingly small point. It's just the place where past and future come together, you could say. And if the past is a construct and the future is a construct, then how could either of them ever give con or substance to the present? And if the present doesn't have any substance, and yet we say the present is where we're active, the present is what's real, nothing else is real, how can you take these two fantasies, these two constructs, the past and the future, and make them into something real in the present? It's very hard to see how that would make sense. There's another dimension of that I want to point out as well, and that is, and this is not, you don't find this in this reading, it's a point that Rinpoche makes in Love of Knowledge, and I've always thought it was a fascinating point. We are used to thinking of the present as being the only place in time that is real, and some of what I've said feeds into that. But in fact, the only thing that makes this present moment real is that I'm in it. And each of you, I mean, it's not that Jack is in it. For each of you, the thing that makes it real is to say, well, this present moment is the moment that I'm occupying right now. And so it's real. And the past that I occupied before is not real in the same way. It's gone. It's vanished. That's very strange, because we're saying that the source of reality is my presence in it. That sounds like a kind of egomania, so it's very hard to make sense out of that. Okay, well, we are running out of time. We have run out of time. There are a number of things to say that we didn't have a chance to get into, so we'll just start with those next week. We have essentially gone through the first page or so of the reading. So continue to read the rest of the chapter, and we will discuss it. Rinpoche continues to explore these same themes over the next couple of pages. So we've got a kind of a foothold on what we need to do, and we'll just have to leave it with that for today. And I'll see you next Sunday. And please do look at the material that'll be posted online, the introduction and the orientation, because it's important, it seems to me, for us to get off on the right start. Okay, so I'm sorry I have to cut it short just very precisely today, but I do. Thank you very much, and we will meet again next week. And